These words of Torah be a merit, Li'ili Nishmas, Moshe ben Machluf. And may our learning also be a merit, Li'ili Nishmas, Meir Chaya, Nechama Bracha, Le'al Shalom, Bas David Mordechai. Today's daf is daf Tes in Meseches Nida. We were up to daf Chesam and Beis, the two dots on the third wide line. Here. So the Mishnah says that there are four, according to Belezer, there are four women that die on Shatan, that once they bleed, there is Tumah going forward, but there's no Tumah retroactively for the last 24 hours. And the four women are all women that we don't expect there to be any blood. So the reasons why we don't expect there to be blood, either is because the woman is nursing, she's pregnant, she's post-menopause, or she's psula. Psula literally means virgin, but in this case it means virgin of blood. She's never had her period yet. She's 11, 12, she's never yet had her period yet. This is the first bleed. So because it's the first bleed, we don't expect that, oh, really this blood was there already for the last 24 hours, the last few days. No, this is the first time she's ever had blood. So the Mishnah said, Ezohi Besula. What's the definition of Besula here? The Mishnah is Kol Shelo Rasa, a woman who's never seen blood before. This is her first time seeing blood. Tadar Banu Linden Abraisa. What about Nisei? So a young girl gets married. She's never had a period. But Rasa Da Machmas Nisuin. She saw blood. Because of the marriage. Because of the marriage, there was intercourse, and the intercourse knocked the blood of the uterus. It didn't generate a period, but it got hymenal blood. It broke the hymen, which took out blood. Or this young girl got married and then had intercourse. Because of the intercourse, she became pregnant. Yalda v'ras adam machmas leida. And she saw blood because of childbirth. But she didn't see a period of blood. And now she has her first period. Adayna nikorila besula. She's still within the category of besula, that the blood of the first period creates a tumah going forward, but no tumah retroactively. Sharei besula sha'amru, because when the Mishnah talks about besula, it means besulas damim. It means that she's a virgin in terms of blood, that she hasn't had any blood before of the period. Below besulas besulim. It doesn't mean that she's a besula who's never had blood ever, that she's never had hymenal blood. She may have had hymenal blood. She's just never had the blood of period before. Asks the Gemara, is that possible? Can you say that a woman who's never had nida blood, even though she's had besula blood, is still called a besula? Didn't Rav Kahana say, Tana Melinda Nebraisa, Shalosh Besula, saying the word besula is used in three contexts. Besulas Adam. There is a person who's a besula, namely a woman who's never had intercourse, a virgin. Besulas karka. Then there's the besula in a reference to land. Land that's never been plowed. It's never been cultivated. And besulas shikma. The sycamore tree, which is a besula. So besulas adam means calls man shelo nivala, a woman who's never had intercourse. No man has ever had intercourse with her. So why do we need to know what's the definition of besula in regards to a person? Nafkamina l'kohen gadol. Who can a kohen gadol marry? A kohen gadol has to marry a besula. Inam yotrenavli l'ksuba samasayim. When a besula gets married, her ksuba is 200 zuz. Besulas karka means land, kozman shelo nevda, land that was never worked. Nafkamina is in regards to Nachal Esan. The egla rufa has to be killed over land that has never been worked. Or in terms of a sale, if you say I'm selling to my friend, if I tell my friend I'm selling to you land that is besula, it has to be land that was never worked. It can't be. I can't say, oh, land that was once worked is the same. No, there's a difference between the lands. Besula shikma, the sycamore tree that's called a besula is called man shelo niktitza. It's that this tree has never been cut down. Now, normally they would cut down the branches of the sycamore tree so that it would regrow thicker. It's never been cut down yet. Once it's cut down, it's called sadana shikma. Before it's ever been cut down, it's called basula shikma. Now, for me, again, is lemeka chomemkar. If I told my friend I'm going to sell him a basula shikma, I have to sell him a tree that's never been cut down at all. None of the branches have ever been pruned. And not a tree that's already been pruned. Inami, another nafkamina. What's the definition of basula shikma? Lemiktsa b'shvius. Are you allowed to cut the sycamore tree branches during Shemitah? If not, as we went in the Mishnah, ain kotsim basula shikma b'shvius. During Shemitah, you can't cut the basula, the sycamore tree that's never been cut before. Mipnei shiavoda, because that improves the tree. And because that improves the tree, that's considered like cultivating the tree, making the tree grow, which you're not allowed to do during Shemitah. However, if the tree is already a sadan shikma, it's already been cut down before. So now to cut some of its branches during Shemitah is allowed because it's already considered fully grown and you're not really improving it. And in Shemitah, you're only not allowed to do those agricultural activities that improve the tree or improve the land, but not something that is basically a wash, that doesn't accomplish anything. Now, if you're going to tell me that there's a fourth basula, basulas damim, so the Brisa should have said there's such a thing as basulas damim, a woman who's a virgin for her period blood. She's never had her period blood before. She may have had birth blood, she may have had hymenal blood, but she's never had period blood. So why isn't that listed as one of the basulos? So I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said, well, the Brisa is listing three basulos, basulas shikma, basulas adam, basulas karka, because ki katani, what is this listing? Midi diles l'shem levai. The terms that have basula with nothing else with it. Av midi diles l'shem levai lo katani. But that something has the term basula with something else, that's not listed. So here you have basulas damim. Basulas damim. Basula of period blood. So it's not just basula. It's basula of period blood, so that's not listed. Rav Shesh Bedi Avidi Amar, another answer, ki katani midi to tell b'maisa. These three things, a basula, right, a woman who's a virgin, a sycamore tree that's a virgin sycamore tree, a land that's virgin land. They're virgins, but what would deflower them, what would take away their virginity is an action of a person. If a person plows the land, if a person prunes the tree, if a person has intercourse with the woman. However, basulas damim, it's not a person's action that takes away the status of basula, it's God. Whenever God decides this girl to enter puberty, that she should start having a period, that takes away her being a virgin of blood. So what's listed in the Brisa, if she's ready to read the Amar, ki katani midi to tell the b'maisa, things that a human act can remove the status of basula, that's what's listed. Midi lo tani b'maisa, lo katani, but those things where the basula status is not dependent on a human act, but dependent on God's nature, it's not listed. Rav Chanina b'Rei d'Ravika Amar, Rav Chanina the son of Ravika gave a third answer. Ki katani midi lo hadu l'briyasa. The Brisa is only talking about those things that are virgin, and once they are no longer virgin, they'll never be able to go back to being virgin. Once you work the land, it's never going to be land. It was never worked before. Once you cut the branches of the sycamore tree, it's never going to again be a sycamore tree. The branches were never cut. Once a woman had intercourse, so she's a woman who has had intercourse. But me, Dadla Brias, Lo Katani. But this issue of the issue of blood, that we don't want to list because you can have with blood, right, to say that with blood there's Basulas Damim, there's also menopause. And after menopause, again, she doesn't have blood. So the same way she doesn't have blood when she's 11, there's no period expected when she's 11, when she's 11 and a half, 11 and three quarters, that status is not a status that's once lost, can never come back. It can be lost once she has her first period and her second period or third period. But the status can come back post-menopause. Again, she's not going to have blood and we're not going to expect blood. And if she does have blood for some freak reason at an advanced age, we're going to say daya shata, she's only tummy going forward. So again, because it's a status that can return, it's not listed in this brisa of basulos. Ravina gave a fourth answer. Ki katani midi de kapid ale zvina. What's listed are those things that people care about when they're doing a purchase. So if a man is marrying a woman, he wants to know that she's a basula, that she's never had intercourse with another man. If a man is buying a piece of land, he wants to buy land that's never been worked because that's land that produced better fruits. A man who's buying a sycamore tree wants to know that the sycamore tree has never been pruned, so therefore he knows that what he's looking at can become better. Once he prunes it, it'll become better. However, but those things that people don't care about in regards to a purchase is not listed in this price. And whether this woman has ever had her period before or not is not going to impact anything. So what do you mean it's not going to impact anything? Well, do people not care about time in a price? Rabbi Chiyomer used to say, the same way the more yeast you put into dough, the more leaven, the more sourdough you put into dough, the more it will inflate, the more it's going to be a better bread. So too, the blood of a woman is good for a woman. The more a woman has her period, the more she has blood, the more she bleeds, the more fertile she is, and the more pregnant she'll become. The time we looked at a bryce, Mishum Rabbi Meir Klisha, the Mam Reuben, a woman who has a lot of blood, but Mam Reuben will have a lot of children. Ella, so of course people care about that when they get married. They want to know if they're going to have children or not, how many children. Ella, so rather kikatani. So what's listed in this bryce of basulos? Midi the kavetz alei zvina. What's listed are those things that a lot of people are excited to buy it because of that status. So if you have land that's never been worked, a lot of people want to buy it because it's never been worked and it's very fertile. If you have a basula sashikma, a lot of people want to buy it because they see that, you know, there's a lot of potential here with this tree once they start pruning it. A woman who's a virgin, a lot of people want to marry her. But things that there aren't a lot of people looking for this status, that's not something that people are running, that's not listed. So here, when you have a woman who's never had her period yet, so nobody knows, right? Nobody knows, is she very fertile? Does she have a lot of blood? Is she not so fertile? She doesn't have much blood? They don't know. So the fact that she doesn't have her period yet is not a reason that's going to make her, you know, highly desirable. It's true, blood does impact things. The level of her bleeding does impact things which are important to people, but there's no, you know, great demand. Let's marry you. Lots of people want to marry the woman who's never had her period yet. No, on the opposite. They don't know yet. They don't know what anything is. So therefore, it's not one of the things listed in the Bryce. The Bryce was listing those things that are basula, and there's a lot of demand for them because they are basula. You want to check? Let's just finish this piece. Tanur Rabbanan, in a Bryce, person who's coming to buy land, Ezo Basulas Karka. How does he know what land is land that's never been worked? And it's this Basula land. It's going to be very good. It's going to produce lots of fruits because it's never been worked before. It's never given its energy out before. So two ways. Kol Shemala Rishushin, land that when you take out pieces of the land, you find, you know, hard dirt that doesn't scatter. Vein Afra Tichoach, and her dirt is not soft. And Nimtza Ba Cheres. If you find in it land that is hard like earth, like clay, yadua shenavda, then you know it was worked. However, sunma, but if you find, now one second, so again, what is land that hasn't been worked? Kol shamala rishushin, land that has these hard clumps, and ain afra tichoach, and the dirt in it is not soft. But if nimtza bacheres, if you found clay in the land, yadua shenavda, then you know it was worked. Sunma, if the land is filled with hard rocks, then you know, harezu besulas karka, that's land that's never been worked, and that's this field which is besula. Yeah, question.
Regarding the tree, a fruit tree, to what extent can we prune, cut down fruit tree?
On Shemitah?
It's only for Shemitah, it's not at
any point. Oh, no, in general you're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree if it's a waste, because of Baal Tashkes, you're not allowed to do destructive things. However, we have learned before that if you need the wood of the fruit tree to build a house, it's more valuable in some other way, then you would be allowed to cut it down. Or if it doesn't produce fruits anymore, at that point you can cut it down.
So the religious people, they have to check the fruit, make sure it didn't come from a tree that was cut down or pruned in
Shemitah
time?
We all have to check the fruit, yeah. You all have to check the fields.
So the farmer really has to be on this guy to say,
we do, yes, we all do, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's the big hetzer of selling to the non-Jews. That's right. All right, so the Mishnah again listed four women that die on Shat, and that their Tumah is only going forward. There is no retroactive Tumah. The first was Basula. The second is Mu'ubares, the woman who's pregnant. We assume that there's no blood. So therefore, if she found blood now, we say, no, it came now, but it wasn't anything before. Mu'ubares, what's a pregnant woman? Mishivada Ubra. Once it's apparent that she's pregnant. Vakama, at what point is that? So the Gemara explains, "V'kama karas ubar." At what point can you see the pregnancy? And we say that now she's pregnant, and if she has blood, there's no impurity retroactively. There's only impurity going forward. So Simcha Sam Shum Remeir. Simcha says name Remeir. Shlosha Chadashim. 3 months after she became pregnant. Afi Shein Raya Ladav. Even though there's no proof to this, Eichel Ladav. There's a hint to it from Tamar. It says about Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Yehuda, Vayikim Shlosh Chadashim, was like about 3 months later, people said, but you know, Tamar looks pregnant. So the Gemara now asks, Zeichel Adavar, there's only a hint to it, crux of this is a Pasuk, Raya Gdoli, it's an amazing proof. So the Gemara says, no, the Pasuk itself is not such a proof, because you can say like this, the Pasuk says that after 3 months, her pregnancy with Zerach and Peretz was visible, but maybe that's because she had a full-term pregnancy. But if a woman has an abbreviated pregnancy, of a 7-month pregnancy, maybe it's visible after 2 months and a third.
She had twins.
She had twins, so all the more so that it was a full-term pregnancy. So you don't have a proof that in all pregnancies it's 3 months till it's visible. That's why you say it's a zeichel adavar. Like Mara says, I'll tell you why it's not a great proof. There's some women who give birth at 9 months. We could yield to shiva. Some women give birth at 7 months. From this pasuk, I would say that there's some women that, you know, the pregnancy is visible after 3 months. Maybe that's only a woman who's going to give birth to 9 months. So then it's visible after 3 months because 3 months is a third. But maybe a woman is giving birth after 7 months. It's visible after 2 months and a third. So the Gemara says it's really not such a great proof, but it's still a hint to it where the Pasuk says after 3 months her pregnancy was visible. So you see that it takes 3 months for a pregnancy to become visible.
I feel like we had this discussion before.
Could be. I don't remember. You know, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me the ability to learn things and forget, so I come back to it. I'm excited that I learn it again, all afresh. Thank God. Thank God.
Tana
Rabbana. We were blessed. We were learned in a Braisa. Harei Shaisa Becheskas Muberes. Let's say you had a woman who was presumed pregnant. And now she sees blood. So if a woman is pregnant, she sees blood. We've learned in our Mishnah that according to Belazar, she's only impure going forward. But then the question is this really a pregnancy? Then ended up what came out of her body was just some gas. Whatever else came out, which doesn't really last. It's nothing that could have been a child. So are we going to say that no, turns out she never was pregnant? What came out was just some other stuff, and therefore the blood created toma going backwards retroactively for 24 hours. We don't do that. Harei b'cheskasa, we keep her in her original status. Daya shata, we say that she's only tame going forward. Avagav shein ra'ya ladav, even though there's no proof that an empty pregnancy is considered a pregnancy, zeichel ladav, there's a hint to it. Because the verse says, Harinu chalnu, we had the pain of pregnancy. Kimo yoladnu ruach, as if we gave birth to just wind. So you see that getting birth to wind is also a giving birth. It's still a pregnancy. Even though it came out was just wind, it's still a pregnancy. Why is Eichel Adav? Again, same question. Why is this just a hint to the matter? Re Raya Gdoli, that's a great proof. No, Kiksiv Kra, Kiksiv Haikra Bisharim Ksiv. This pasuk's not even talking about real pregnancy. It's talking about the Jewish people. Saying the Jewish people's experience is like a pregnancy that doesn't produce anything. So maybe that doesn't tell you that a pregnancy that doesn't produce anything is a real pregnancy. But that's the conclusion. We're saying that a pregnancy that doesn't produce anything is also has the status of a pregnancy. Ask the Gemara, Ramini, is that really true? We learned. Remember yesterday we learned that during the 11 days that a woman can be a Zava. If she had blood during those 11 days, she can become a Zava. But if the blood was because of childbirth, then she wouldn't be a Zava. And if the blood seemingly was coming out because of childbirth through the contractions, but then there was a break in the contractions, then we say, nope, it shows that it is Zava blood. It wasn't childbirth blood. We learned here in a Braisa, Kishtashtayim. A woman who during these 11 days is having contractions and she's seeing blood, the lashlishin on the third day of the 11 days, hipila ruach, what comes out of her is just wind, or whatever, some other type of thing comes out, some other discharge comes out, which never could have been a child. Harezu yuletis bezov, so now we say it wasn't a pregnancy, therefore the contractions were not contractions of birth. We say the blood is blood of Ziva, and she is a Zava. If you're going to tell me that a pregnancy of wind and a birth of wind is also a birth, So now, finally, starting today's daf. So koshi samichul eder rachman atzare. We know that if blood comes out during contractions that are right around the birth, that's not blood of ziva. That's blood from some artificial source. She's not a zava. Amar Rav Papa, your papa's talking about, again, the following answer. Really, a pregnancy that produces wind is not a pregnancy. A birth that produces wind is not a birth. That's why she is a zava. We said here that if a woman was pregnant and she had a discharge of blood, and then outside what comes out is just wind, we still say she's only tummy going forward, because this whole tumma of retroactive tumma is only a dindra banan. Hanach meisleis, leave alone this issue of tumma going backwards for the last 24 hours. It's only dindra banan, midra banan. So therefore they were lenient, and any type of pregnancy is already enough to say that there won't be this retroactive tumma. Answer number one. That was Rav Papi. Rav Papa said another answer. Even if we say that a pregnancy of wind is not a pregnancy, as we see from the laws of Zava, midu taima elamishum derosha kavod aleha vavera kavod aleha. What's the reason why we say a woman who's pregnant doesn't have retroactive tumma for the last 24 hours? Because when she's pregnant, her head is heavy, her limbs are heavy. So because her body is feeling, you know, this funk, so that's why we don't assume that there's blood coming out. So the blood came out now, but there was no blood before. So we see even a false pregnancy, still, her head and limbs are heavy. And since her head and limbs are heavy, that's enough for us to be sure that there was no blood before. Therefore, there's no retroactive blood. But in terms of Ziva blood, it's not a real birth. It's not a real pregnancy. So the Ziva blood is still considered Ziva blood. But you mean, hey, Rabbi Yirmiyah, me Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question from Rabbi Zera. What about the following case? Rasa, let's say a woman had blood, but her pregnancy is not showing yet. Yachakach, and right after she has the blood, hukar ubra. Now she pops. Now you can see the pregnancy. So Matt, what's the halacha now? Came to be in the chazay luhukar ubra. Since at the time that the blood came out, you couldn't see anything. It wasn't yet 3 months. Netamias will say that no, there is retroactive impurity. However, Oduma maybe came with the samach lachazoi. Right after the blood came out, the she popped, and now you can see that she's pregnant. So lo mitamias. So clearly it's blood of pregnancy. It's a woman who's pregnant, and there is no retroactive impurity. Amarleh, so now we said we've discovered the principle. We've discovered the reason why a pregnant woman doesn't have retroactive impurity. Me do time, what's the reason? El Mishum de Rosha Kavit Aleh. It's because a woman who's pregnant, her head is heavy, her limbs are heavy, and that removes all the blood. So that's why we assume that there's no blood. So this woman bidden the chazai, when she saw the blood, she wasn't openly pregnant. In Rosha Kavit Aleh, her head wasn't heavy on her. In Evarea Kvedim Aleh, her limbs weren't heavy. So therefore, there is no reason to assume that there was no blood. And therefore, we would say, no, this is a woman who has blood. Maybe there was blood before too. And therefore, she has retroactive impurity.
24 hours.
But amine, hahu sava mir Rabbi Yochanan. It was this old man who asked the following question of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say there's a woman who is openly pregnant. But now, higia es vista bimei ibura. During the days of her pregnancy, she reaches the day of her regular period. A big, big topic in Maseches Nida is the issue of veset. A woman has sometimes a very regular period. Let's say the woman has a certain period on a certain day of the month. Every time that it's Rosh Chodesh, when the moon appears, the blood comes. Well, the blood came on the first day of Tishrei, the blood came on the first day of Cheshvan, the blood came on the first day of Kislev, the blood came on the first day of Shvat. Every first day of the month, the blood comes. So now, this has been going on for more than 3 months. So we know that every first day of the month, the blood is coming. So now there's an obligation for her to check herself on the day that she expects the blood to come. It's a law. So let's say the day that she's expecting the blood to come, she's pregnant. So even though there was an obligation for her to check herself, a little but, because she didn't check herself. Mahu, what is the law?
She's
3 months pregnant. And she's showing, and she didn't check herself. So this is the question that this elderly sage asked Rav Yochanan.
Isn't that normal, Rabbi?
To suspend during the pregnancy?
Yes.
Okay, good. We'll see. So coming by, that's true. So coming by, the question, the sage explained this question. Let's say you hold that this law, that when a woman has a regular period, she needs to check herself, it's biblical. And if she didn't check herself, it's a biblical law that she's probably tamei. So my, what about here when she's openly pregnant? Even though a woman who's pregnant normally doesn't have blood, but since there is a biblical law that she needs to be checking herself during her veset, this woman also needs to check herself. Maybe since she's pregnant, therefore we assume there's no blood. She also doesn't need to check herself during the veset, during the time that she expects the blood to come. Amar Leitz, Rabbi Yochanan said, to this age, we learned it in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, let's say a woman was hiding in a bunker because she's afraid of the Roman legionnaires. And now the moment of her veset arrives, when the blood is expected. But she didn't check herself. I mean, she didn't have any clothes, didn't have anything there with which to check herself. So she's still tzar. Why? So the Mishnah says, because charada mesalekes adam, fear, tension, will cause a woman not to have a bleed. Fear causes her not to have a bleed, even though it's expected. So time dika charada. So why do we say over there that there's no blood, even though it was an expected time? It's because there's tremendous fear. She's hiding from the Roman legionnaires. Aleka charada. But if there wouldn't be any such fear, and igia vista, in the time of her expected period were to arrive, v'lo batka, she wouldn't check herself, tamei, she would be tamei. Ama, so you see, vista to oraisa, biblical. There's a biblical law of expecting the blood during the veset, and since there is a biblical law, she has to check herself even when she is pregnant. So now, once we've said this, now, once there is great fear, though, and then the blood is removed, she doesn't need to check herself, right? Even though it's a biblical law that she should be checking herself, if there's great fear because she's hiding in the bunker from the legionnaire, she doesn't need to check herself. Even without a check, she's considered clean. Hachanami, so the same thing would be true with a pregnant woman. A pregnant woman is like a woman who has great fear. The blood is considered removed. And therefore, she doesn't need to check herself, even though there is a biblical law that a woman needs to check herself during Shas Vesta. Yeah, because it was certainly a case of Pikoach Nefesh. Yeah, the Romans were after her. Yeah, question.
So the definition of Veset is only if it's on the same day every month, but if it's not, then it's not
defined as Veset? Veset means a regular pattern. So there are multiple ways to have a regular pattern. You can have a regular pattern the same day of the same of every month. It could be the same interval between months, like every 30 days, every 35 days. It could be even same actions. Every time she jumps rope, she gets her period. But there's some regularity to it that we expect it.
What's the difference between a regular Veset and a Veset Kavua?
This is a Veset Kavua. I'm talking about a Veset Kavua.
But what's a regular Veset?
No, there's a regular Veset is a Veset Kavua. Veset She'ena Kavua means that there's blood, but we don't have a particular pattern here. Okay, the Mishnah is talking about this: the woman who has blood, there's a retroactive impurity for the last 24 hours. And the Mishnah had taught that that doesn't apply to four women: the woman who've never had a period before, a woman who's pregnant, and now the third, a woman who's nursing. At what point is the woman nursing? Meinika ad shetigmol. The Mishnah said, a woman who's nursing, it's until she stops nursing. What happens if she gave her baby away to a nurser, to some woman to nurse, or the baby died? Rav Meir said, now if she has blood, she is tummy retroactively. And the Chacham say, no, she's still only tummy going forward. Let's say a woman is nursing, but Nebuch, her child, passes away within the 24 months of her birth. So now she has the status of any other woman. Mitam, if she has blood, she's tamei retroactively mei slaves for the last 24 hours when we pekita lepekita, or from last check till the last check. Lefichach, therefore, since it's the act of nursing which prevents the blood, let's say she's nursing more than 24 months. She's nursing the baby 4 or 5 years. So then also, if she sees blood in these 4 or 5 years, let's say she's been nursing now for 3.5 years and she sees blood, she's only tummy going forward, but now tummy retroactively. This is the view of Rabbi Meir. However, Rabbi Shimon say, all women, whether they're still nursing or even if they're not nursing, die in Shaitan Kolesim Rabbam Chodesh for 24 months after the birth. That's when they have blood, they're only tummy going forward. But after 24 months, not. Levichach, therefore, it's not the act of nursing that causes her to not have blood, but rather it's the very fact that she gave birth that caused her not to have blood for 24 months. So therefore, if she's nursing the baby 4 or 5 years later, and now she finds blood, now there is a tumah retroactively for 24 hours, there's a tumah going back to the last check. When you'll think about these things, you'll see the divrei Rabbi Meir, the logic of Rabbi Meir, who says that as long as she's nursing, she has no blood. Because the reason why a nursing mother doesn't have blood is that dam nek karvanasa chalav. We assume that the blood of hers has turned into milk. And since it's turned into milk, so as long as she's nursing, there's no blood. The logic is, evarem is parking through the act of birth. The internal organs get dislodged and they're shaking around. And because they're shaking around, she becomes weak. And because she's weak, that's why she doesn't have blood. She doesn't come back to her normal strength until 24 months later. So even if she's not nursing in the meantime, if stopped nursing 6 months after, 2 months later, doesn't matter. She still doesn't have blood.
What is it? The blood converts to milk?
Yes, that was the Gemara said.
That doesn't make sense.
Why doesn't it make sense?
I don't know that way.
Never heard that.
All milk comes from blood.
Right.
Baruch, the milk of a cow is also blood that became milk.
But they come from different departments.
Yeah, that's right. So now the Gemara says, why did the Brice have to say the reasoning of Rabbi Meir? Once Rabbi Meir says that once the nursing stops, even within 24 months, again, she'd be tummy retroactively, because the nursing is what causes the lack of need of blood. So, of course, if she keeps nursing after 24 months, she's also not going to be tummy retroactively. Or explains, Mishum Leficha Rabbi Yossi, because we needed the Leficha Rabbi Yossi. Leficha Rabbi Yossi Lamli. Why do we need the Leficha Rabbi Yossi? So, Gemara explains, Ma'adat, I'm thought to say, Rabbi Yossi Tarti Yisrael. Two things take away the blood. Number one, nursing takes away the blood, because the nursing turns the blood into milk. And number two, the birth takes away the blood because it weakens her for 24 months, and that takes away the blood. That's what you have to say. No, the Rabbi Yossi is only saying that the birth weakens her to take away the blood, but not that the nursing takes away blood. Tanya Miyach, he also learned the Rabbi this way. Dam nak, Kevinasa, Chalav, Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that the blood is turning into milk. Rabbi Yossi, oh, Meir, Rabbi Yossi says, no, the reason why a woman doesn't have blood and doesn't have a presumption of blood from before when she gave birth is because during the birth, Evareha Misparkin, all the inner organs got weakened. She doesn't go back to herself till 24 months later. What's that? I don't know.
How is one allowed to have milk if it comes from blood?
Oh, we learned that in Chulin, because that's the heter of milk. The Torah says, Zavas Chalav Udvash. That's a good question. Amar Rabbi Eloi said, my time with Rabbi Meir. What's the reasoning of Rabbi Meir, who said that blood becomes the milk? Because the pasuk says, "Mi tain tahor mi tamei," who can make the pure come out of the impure? Lo echa, no one but Hashem. So, in other words, who can make milk come out of blood? Only Hashem. Rabban will tell you, and they say that the reason why there's no blood is because through the childbirth, your whole system's got weakened. What are they going to do with this pasuk? Rabbi Yochanan, it's referring to something else. Ushich vazera, it's referring to the seed from a man. Shoot tamet, because it's an avatam, and yet adamanot shemenutar, out of that seed comes a person who is tahar. Rabbi Lazar Omer Elu Meinida, that's a reference to the waters of Paraduma. Shahamaza, the one who sprinkles the blood, umazan alav, and the one who has the blood sprinkled on him, tahar becomes tamet, v'nogeya, but the one who touches them becomes tamet. So, in other words, the waters sprinkled on others make tahara, and yet the waters themselves, if you touch them, you become tamei. Ask the Gemara. 1 second. Umazet tar, the one who sprinkles the waters of Parah Aduma, he eats tar. But the pasuk says umazet me'anidah yichabes begadav. The one who sprinkles the waters of Parah Aduma has to wash his clothing. So my mazet no. When it says the one who sprinkles, that means no gear. The one who touches. I mean, I can't say that. Vaksiv mazet vaksiv no gear. The pasuk talks about the one who touches, and the pasuk talks separately about the one who sprinkles. Vod, and furthermore, Mazah by kibbutz, we know that the one who sprinkles the waters of paradum has to wash his clothing. No gealo by kibbutz, someone who touches the waters of paradum and doesn't have to wash his clothing, just has to himself go into the mikvah. Elamai mazeh, what does it mean, the one who sprinkles doesn't become tummy? It means no say, the one who's carrying. The licht of no say. So I'm sorry, when the Torah says the one who sprinkles becomes tummy, it means the one who's carrying it. The licht of no say, why does the Torah use the word carrying? Kamash one, the answer is that the only way he's tamei, he has to wash his clothing for carrying, is adadari kashir azah. It's only if he's carrying enough that would you be able to sprinkle with it. Hanich lamanda amar, that's fine if you say hazah tzri chashir, that there is some amount of sprinkling that you need to do, a certain amount of water that has to be sprinkled. Elamanda amar ain't tzri chashir, that when you sprinkle the waters of paraduma, there's no minimum amount you need to sprinkle. Michael, what are you going to say? Answer the Gemara. Even if you say that the amount of paraduma water is, there is no amount that you need to sprinkle. Ani mili, that's true. Agava de gabra. When you are talking about sprinkling on a person, even if a little bit of water was sprinkled on him, he becomes tar. Ava b'mana, but whenever you have to sprinkle on a utensil, I'm sorry, but the utensil that you put the hyssop branch into, to then take the drops out, there has to be a certain amount of water. How much water do you need to have in the utensil in order to be able to sprinkle from them? Enough to dip in the heads of the stalks of the hyssop and for all of those tops to get wet and be able to sprinkle drops off. One second, Ma'ane de Amri, the Amar Shlomo, this is what Shlomo said about Paraduma and this problem. How could it be that the Paraduma on the one hand creates impurity, on the other hand creates purity? That's why I said, Amarti Achkama, I thought I could understand things, but Behira Chokami Meni, it was too far from me. Yeah, question, Baruch.
The guy who throws the, Paraduma, that person becomes strong. Tahor himself becomes
Tame. Yeah.
Now, while he's Tame, can he throw another paraduma to somebody else? Or
Yeah. He just has to go to the mikvah that day.
So a Tame person could keep on sprinkling people with the paraduma.
Yeah, because it's a low level of Tuma.
So,
yeah. Okay, I think the earliest time for Talison films is like 6:35 today. Okay, earliest time for a bracha. Ezo is Kena. Now the fourth woman, who we assume that she doesn't have blood, and therefore if she had a discharge of blood, she's only tameh going forward, but not retroactively, is a woman post-menopause. What's a zakena? Kol she'avra aleha shalosh onos. She's already had three periods, three cycles. All right, what's a cycle? Hey, chidami, when is this so? Samach lezikna, where it's close to her old age. I'm Rav Yehuda. That's a woman who's close to her old age. Her friends are telling her that she's older and she's going to be post-menopause soon. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol shekoren la ima ve'ina bosha. She's old enough that they call her ima and she's not embarrassed by it. They call her, ima so-and-so, ima Reichman. She's not embarrassed. Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak had an argument. One said it means that she's not upset when they call her ima. The Chadam Rakol Sheina Bosha, she's not embarrassed when they call her ima. My Benai, what's the difference? Ika Benai, the difference would be if she's at an age with Bosha, she would be embarrassed if they call her ima, but in a Makpedes, she's no longer upset if they call her that. All right, Kama Ona, what is this cycle time? How much time is this? We said three Onos close to her old age of no blood. So then already we say she's Mesulekas Dam. Amre Shlakish Mishim Rebidim Mesia. Ona Benin is 30 days, Shloshim Yom, right? The average of the period from one to the next is 30 days. So 30 days, she had three times 30 days with no blood, and she's already at the age that people call her Ima. So at that point we say, all right, if she now has blood after these 90 days, all right, it's new blood, it's Tuma going forward, but no Tuma retroactively. Rav Amar Rav Chizda, Rav Amar Sen Rav Chizda, no, the cycle is 20 days. Esther Yom. But Lopligi really agrees that it's 30 days. One, when he said 30 days, is counting the days of Tumah and the days of Tahara. Umar, the other one who said 20 days, lo chashav yimei Tumah, he's not counting the 7 days of Nida and the 3 days of Ziva. So he's counting 20 days minus 10 days, so he's counting 30 days. So the bottom line is, if 90 days go by without blood, at that point, she is considered a mesulekas damim. And if she bleeds, there's only tumah going forward, kaya shaita, but no tumah retroactively. Okay, we'll pick up at this point, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow.